This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Good morning, everyone. We're having a good morning? Yes. Come on, you guys got an extra hour of sleep this morning. Are we having a good morning? Yes. Good, there we go. That's more like an 11 a.m. service. I was very grateful this morning because my kids weren't up an hour earlier than what they should be. So we got a little bit of a sleep in this morning, praise God. Just wanted to quickly welcome all the families that are joining us to witness these baptisms. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you're not. We're so glad you're here. We hope you have a great morning with us. We're super excited to be celebrating with those who are getting baptized. So I'll make sure this message is nice and short so we can get to the fun part of this service. But if you haven't been, if you've been attending Discovery for a little bit or you haven't, we're in the middle of a series on parables, which is essentially stories that Jesus told with the purpose of teaching his followers and the crowds about what his kingdom is like. And so this is an awesome series that we're just, I love how Jesus invites us to learn, not by just telling us exactly, but he invites us to go on the journey wherever we're at, whatever stage of faith we're in. Maybe you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. Every time we open God's word, which is the Bible, we have an opportunity to learn something new, amen? And so I'm super excited to be bringing the word this morning. But before we pray and open the word, I have to apologize to some people, okay? Ooh, apologies. No, it's okay. I have to apologize mainly to my friends and to my family because I think sometimes they have a wrong perception of me, right? I just got to confess something this morning. I'm terrible at responding to text messages. Anyone else bad at responding to text messages? I get a bit overwhelmed with the text messages and I don't like the little blue or the little red icon on top of my apps that tells me that people are wanting to talk to me. I struggle. Like when I get home, I don't really want to be looking at my phone, but the perception that I give people sometimes because I'm terrible with my text messages is that I don't care about what they're talking to me about, which is just not true. And so I always tell my family and my friends, just call me. I'd love to chat on the phone. It's a bit old school, a bit like, you know, we don't really call much these days. Maybe you have a dad. And I know some people have dads that do this. You know, you send a long message to your dad and you just get like a thumbs up emoji. Who gets the thumbs up emojis? Yes, yes. These days, they don't even need to send it in the chat. They can send it like they respond to the message with a thumbs up. So that's always fun. I don't know if that's the same for Apple and Android users. I don't know if that's different. So if you have an Apple phone today, I'd encourage you, get your phone out, open the Notes app. Let's take notes. If you've got an Android, you can just put that right back in your pocket. Your phone won't be needed today, okay? Because we love Apple phones here at Discovery Church. That is not a paid promotion, by the way. Can I ask you some questions? Because today we're going to open up a parable that Jesus is talking about prayer. And I think we get a lot of wrong perceptions about what prayer is, right? And I think sometimes it's one of these things that we engage in, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you know, in your moment of need or when you're in a struggle or when there's something in your life that's going down and you need something outside of you and this world to help you. Often our response is prayer. We just pray because we just hope that there's someone out there listening. In the church circles, we believe that we have a God who listens and hears our prayers. But oftentimes I think our perception of our prayers and our prayer life can confuse how in which we pray. So the passage of scripture that we're opening up today is Luke 11. So if you have a Bible with you, you can open up to that. But before we open it, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, why do you pray the way that you do? Like you might not think about it, but like the way that you pray, there often is a lot of preconceived ideas about prayer before we even open our mouth and utter a word to the creator of heaven and earth. There's a perception that we enter into before we even pray. So why do you pray the way you do? Could the daily repetition of prayer be God's gift, not his delay? You know, how many of you pray for things and it seems like that you're waiting on an answer from God and it just seems to not be coming? That can be frustrating, but I wonder if his delay is actually a gift to us. Wonder if there's something there that we can unpack today. What if God isn't looking for strength in your prayers, but surrender? I know sometimes we come to prayer with our chests puffed up and our bold prayers, and we come and we put on a facade and we present this strength because we feel like that's what God needs from us. If I can just be strong in the situation, then maybe God would hear my prayer. Maybe he's not looking for strength. Maybe he's looking for your surrender. And then the final question, which I think every one of us asks, is does God actually answer prayers? Like, maybe he answers that person's prayer because they're like really godly and like do lots of cool things. But it seems like every time I pray, God doesn't hear me. He doesn't speak to me. Does God really answer prayer? And so, as we come to that, let's open to Luke 11. If you don't have your Bibles with you, it's going to come up on the screen. And we're going to go through from the verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. Let's read. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, this is Jesus speaking, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, here's the parable that we're going to be focusing on today. "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.'" That's a really confusing way of writing that. But think, there's a person who's knocked on your door in the middle of the night and you don't have anything, and so you go to your friend and say, "Hey, can you help me? I need something for this person who's arrived." But as he continues, and he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. You see, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Lord, as we come before your word this morning and we desire to hear from you, Lord, we pray that you would be amongst us, that you'd be speaking through and amongst us inside our hearts and our minds and our spirits, Lord. Illuminate your word, reveal something new to us, Lord. And we pray for those getting baptized today, Lord. Give them peace in their spirit, Lord, as they publicly declare their faith in you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for each aspect of these next moments that we share together, and that you'd be amongst it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. And I think it's important we acknowledge it as one passage of Scripture. Because I think I've heard this or maybe parts of this preached in isolation from one another. But it's really clear from the flow of the text and how the text is formatted that this is all one thought here. This is Jesus teaching on prayer. And so we can't just take certain things out of this and apply it. We actually need to look at it in the context of the whole, because I think there's something beautiful that Jesus reveals about prayer when we understand it in its full context. And I think this morning, as we open the scripture, I'd love to go through it from the very beginning all the way through to the end, because I think as we do that, we understand what Jesus is trying to teach us about prayer. You know, as a church, we're in a season of prayer and fasting. And so we're committing to 21 days of praying and fasting. And I think it's awesome that we get to learn about how Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. But the first thing I want you to notice about prayer is that the disciples are seeing Jesus pray and they perceive something. They perceive that the way that Jesus prays is different to anything that they've ever seen. How do I know that? Because the disciples in all of Scripture never asked Jesus directly, "Can you teach us how to do anything else?" The one thing the disciples go up and ask Jesus to teach them about, "Can you teach us how to pray like you pray?" Isn't that crazy? Jesus walks around his whole ministry life, healing people, preaching amazing messages, like transforming people. They come, like people touch his garment and something changes. Wouldn't you think that the disciples seeing that, they would ask, "Well, teach us how to do miracles, or teach us how to preach, or teach us how to unpack the scriptures like you do. Teach us what you know, Jesus. Teach us how to cast out demons." All of the things that Jesus did in his ministry, the one thing that they wanted to know about what he did, and the one thing they wanted him to teach them was how to pray. It's almost as if Jesus' prayer life was of pivotal importance to every other thing that happens. So should it be for us. Our life as followers of Jesus, we should be grounded in prayer, and everything that flows out of us, every act at our workplace, every act at our church, every act in our groups, every act in our friendship groups should flow out of a place of prayer. And the disciples see Jesus praying and said, "There's something different about the way he prays." See, these are 12 Jewish disciples. They grew up in a culture where prayer was normal. So it's not like these are people who don't know what prayer is, have no understanding of prayer. They would have prayed regular, repetitive prayers every single day for their life, but they notice something different about Jesus. They perceive something in Jesus' prayer that they want to learn about. And so they ask him, "Lord, teach us. Can you teach us to pray like you pray? Can you teach us to pray like you pray?" And you know, it's clear that prayer's important. I love what some scholars say about prayer. Martin Luther says this: "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Charles Spurgeon says, "Prayer pulls the rope below and the great bell rings in the ears of God." A.W. Tozer says, "To desire revival and renewal, and at the same time to neglect prayer, is to wish one way and walk another." Prayer is really important. Particularly your perception of prayer is important. And so the disciples ask this question: "Teach us to pray like you." And how does he teach them to pray? And I think there's something really important about the very first word. It's this: Father. Why is that word really important? Because prayer is not a transaction, it's relational. It's relational. How we sometimes come to God with our list of things that we need, right? And so if I pray, I'm paying something. And if I pray, then I'm expected to receive something. And Jesus from the outset is saying prayer is not about a transaction, it's about relationship. It's about going in deeper intimacy with your Creator. You want to know something crazy? The person who created everything on this world, the trees, the birds, the animals, the sky, the stars, the universe. Think of everything that has been made. That person, that very person, God the Father, wants to have a relationship with you. It's almost as if all of the things that he created in their vast nature, in the massive unending universe that we live in, it's so big and so large, but he's concerned with you. He wants to have relationship with you. That's his purpose. That's his desire. That's what he wants. So when you enter into prayer, your perception should be the creator of heaven and earth. He is a creator, but he's your father and he wants to be in close relationship with you. I know some people in this room, and I just want to say this, people don't have sometimes good relationships with their father. That's okay. But our earthly father is not like our heavenly father. Our heavenly father's a good father. He's a righteous father. He's a protective father. He looks after you. He hears you. He walks with you. He wants to have relationship with you. That's the father that we're praying to. And so Jesus shifts and says, your perception of prayer is you think it's a transaction. It's not a transaction. It's communication and relationship with me from the very beginning. Prayer begins with not with how or with what, but with who, and it's your Father. Simple. And you would think at this time, Jesus addresses the perception, the wrong perceptions of prayer, and he says, this is how you are to perceive me. This is how you are to receive me. This is it. You'd think right then he'd move to prescription. This is how you fix it. And this is how we enter in our prayers all the time. We want prescriptions. You know, we get sick. What's the first thing that we do? We go to the doctor, give me a script so I can fix this right now. We crave clarity. We want resolution. Rather than having, we want answers that end questions. I don't want any more questions, so just give me the answer. We desire prescriptions. So this is how it looks like in our prayer life. I'm anxious, give me peace. I'm far from God, tell me the right spiritual practice so that I'm not far from him. I feel lonely, give me community. I'm battling temptation, show me the hack to get out of my temptation. I'm burnt out, give me a holiday. I don't know what to do with my life, give me a calling. I'm struggling with prayer, give me a method. I'm doubting my faith, give me airtight arguments. I'm feeling spiritually dry, give me an experience. We want prescriptions. I wonder if the God and the creator of heaven and earth is not so much is interested in giving you prescriptions, but he's trying to teach you something in prayer. And it's this, it's not prescriptions, but it's persistence. How do I know that? Start of the Lord's Prayer, he says, when you pray, doesn't command you, but he assumes you do. Give us this day, meaning you should pray. And when you pray, pray daily. Persistence, regular, going on and on and on, praying. And he confirms this in this parable, right? Think of this guy, right? It's the middle of the night. He's at home. He's ready to go to bed. And suddenly in the middle of the night, someone knocks on his door, looking for hospitality, looking for someone to take him in. He's wanting food. He's hungry. He's probably come from a long journey. Let me in, let me in. He lets him in, but the only problem is he has nothing. He has nothing to give his neighbor, nothing to give this person who's come to visit him. He has nothing at all. So what do? And we do this in our lives. When we are like cooking something, we run out of like a spice, you know. Hey neighbor, do you have some like some salt or pepper that I could use? Like just borrow it. This is what's happening in this parable. He doesn't have the thing that's required to fulfill this need that's here. And so he goes to his neighbor saying, can you help me here? And the neighbor's like, it's the middle of the night. I'm asleep. Can you please just go away? He knocks, he knocks, he knocks. And he says, even though his friend, his friendship won't give him the answer, but his persistence, the word in the scripture is impudence, meaning shameless asking. His shameless persistence, on and on and on, that will get the result. And we can read that parable And it's quite confusing to read because there's people in the story who are trying to understand who it exactly is. And sometimes you go, well, the person doesn't want to answer the door. Surely God then doesn't want to answer the door. The parable is not about the friend that's coming to get the need or the person you're going to knock on the door. Jesus is trying to teach about the persistence of prayer, the type of prayer that he wants in his kingdom. And it's someone who continuously, regularly goes after the thing. Knock, 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 knock. Persistence. Persistence over and over again. So when you don't know what to do, you pray. When you feel overwhelmed, you pray. When you're anxious about the future, you pray. When you're hurt by someone, you pray. When you're waiting on God, pray. When you've just fallen short and sinned, pray. When you see someone in pain, pray. When you feel spiritually dry, pray. When you receive good news, pray. Are you getting this, right? When you're about to quit your job, pray. When you wake up and when you go to bed, your response should be pray. Persistent prayers. Shameless persistence. Jesus wants you to approach him without shame. And I think sometimes, like I said before, we come to God with like our chest puffed out and we think we need to put on a brave face. We think we need to present a truth that isn't happening on the inside. Jesus says, get rid of that shame. You don't need to worry about that because in my presence, I reward people who come to me persistently, regularly. You don't need to put on a facade. Just come. I want to have a relationship with you. So we have a perception of prayer that Jesus is trying to address. And he says, I want persistent prayers. I'm looking for persistence. That's what I want. But there's something else that he teaches here as well. And he wants to address something as well, and it's our posture. What's your posture in prayer? Because if persistence, your perception is the preconceived idea that you have. Before you even utter a word, before you even speak anything, it's the idea about God. So that before you enter, he's addressing that. He's addressing the way that you should pray, but then he's addressing the thing on the inside. What's the posture of your heart? Because you can have the right perception and the right persistence, but the wrong posture. Let me show you how this looks. I perceive and I know that God is my Father and he loves me. True. And I'm going to go to him daily for things that I need and things that I desire him to move in. Correct. Persistence. But your posture can suddenly turn to demands rather than dependence. So because God loves me and because I go after him every day, then he needs to answer my prayer. It's not the way of Jesus. He doesn't want you to come to him with demands. He wants you to come to him with dependence. Because the man in the parable, he has no way of fulfilling the need here. There's a need and he can't fulfill it and he can't do it. And he goes to his neighbor, I need it. There's nothing I can do here. And that's when we come to God. Like I'd love to say in this room that so often we come to God when it's all good and when it's all going right and everything's going exactly how we expected. The truth is, most of us come to him in the 11th hour when we need him to come through, when everything's falling apart. When everything, it seems like our hands are empty. We've tried every method to do it on our own and we can't do it. And we go to him at the last hour when our hands are empty. And that's okay. You know what? Jesus says, that's okay. I want you to come to me when you feel there's no other way. He wants you to come to him. In the right posture. And you know what happens when you get your perception and your persistence and your posture? There's a beautiful promise. There's a promise. And it's this. The promise, I love it how it says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. I just want to address some teaching that the church maybe has wrongly taught in the past, because I said before that we need to understand this passage in its full context. All of it is one teaching on prayer. And I've heard this preached before where it's like, well, it says it right there, right? When I ask, I receive. When I seek, I will find. When I knock, the door will be open. Meaning every prayer that I pray, God will answer. And we preach it from platforms and we say, if you just pray, the door, everything will be answered. Every door will be opened. And we know that that's not true. But then what the church sometimes does is, well, that's your fault. That's not a problem with God. That's a you problem. That's not the teaching of this scripture. That's not the heart of this parable. That's not the heart of your Savior Jesus. That's not his posture towards you. He says he will answer every prayer. What's the promise? When you pray, when you go after him, when you receive him correctly and you come with the right posture, what does he say? I will give you the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. And I wonder, if, you know, when you are in that moment where you have nothing, when you're in pain, when you're lost, when you feel like there's no way out, you know that moment, you know that sinking feeling in your chest, that deep feeling where you're like, I don't know how to fix this, but I know that I can't fix it on my own and I need something else. You know what that longing is? You may think it's the answer to your prayer, but Jesus is saying, I have a better answer to the situation that you have right now, and it's myself. It's the Spirit. It's actually your inner being crying out to something that's greater than anything in this world. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the gift that he gives to you. Your soul is longing for something deeper than just things of this world. Because there's a day, and Jesus says in his word that he's going to come back, and every tear and every pain and everything that you've ever walked through that you've prayed that God would take away, it will be taken away, and you are going to be in the presence of your Savior. But until then, Jesus says, I'm still going to answer prayers. I'm still going to be good. And I'm going to give you my Spirit. Because we ask for help, he gives the helper. We ask for comfort, he gives the comforter. We ask for counsel, he gives the counselor. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that's the promise to every believer. Not that he's a genie in a bottle and will answer everything in this world, but he gives you a solution for today, but a greater future for tomorrow. And that's what our people that are being baptized are saying yes to today. I know there's troubles today. I know there's things going on in my world right now, but there's a future that God is calling me to, and I want to be a part of it. That is the heart of this scripture. And that's the promise for every person who would call on the Father's name.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.